Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Thursday morning, August the 13th, 2026, 17 minutes past the hour here. Do want to remind everybody one final time here that the American Revolution Experience will be at the Marion Public Library. Today's the last day, 445 East Church Street here in Marion. It will be there 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. today. The American Revolution Experience includes display panels and interactive digital kiosks designed to connect visitors with the people, places, and stories that shaped the birth of our nation. All right, phone lines are open here. 740-383-9944, and hopefully the people who contacted me yesterday who wanted to get in on this conversation, we'll get in on this conversation because it's an interesting conversation to have. I think I said conversation three times in that little sentence there soliloquy. But it is interesting. It's a civics lesson. That's how I see it in what government does and how public officials make their decision and how the public gets involved and how mayors do what they do and are going to do what they do. And I think this is an interesting story in a way because it's kind of, it reminds me a lot of New Year's. You know, we know the mayor can do something about this legislation, which is veto it, but we have to wait and see what it's going to be as the clock ticks down on the time to veto this legislation. So it's a little, you know, little like watching the clock and seeing what happens. In any event, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you have anything to say in regard to this, feel free to give me a buzz. We would love to hear from you. But it certainly has proven that a lot of people in the public can rally people to an issue involving government, which is not a bad thing. It certainly proves that people are interested in certain things that go on with city and county government. And as I have said before, I think it's kind of fascinating that this is the big issue. And the fiscal emergency in Marion has really kind of taken second fiddle to this issue as they both are happening at the same time. And I do believe the fact that there is so much press going on around the country right now about flock cameras or in regard to flock cameras, I do believe that is also figuring into this. Because if you go to your social media news feed, chances are you're going to get a story on flock cameras from Franklin County, Columbus, just up the road, and other states, other places. And I think a lot of that is figuring into what is going on now. But this is where we are. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, bud, in a presidential election, don't they have campaigns? Don't they spend tons of money on disinformation and information and all that? And do we end up with a president that really represents the people? There's a lot of argument, because, You know, there's the popular vote, and then there's the electoral vote and all that. So right. Isn't this the same thing, a continuation of it?
Very similar.
Yep, I think.
Yeah, but
just my opinion.
Right. No. I think it's very similar.
All right, buddy.
Thank you. Right. No, I think that's almost exactly what we have going on here. That is it an accurate depiction of who people really like and who people really don't like when it comes to elections? A lot of times we say no. We say, well, some people just didn't turn out to vote. Some people didn't think it would go the other way, so on and so forth. There are campaigns led. And there's nothing wrong with that, which I have said a lot of times. I don't think there's anything wrong with campaigns being led. But when campaigns are being led, you also can't be surprised that you're seeing more anti-flock posts on social media. You can't be surprised that you're seeing a big turnout by the anti-flock people when those are where the campaigns are being led from. Just like in a presidential election. If somebody's got a lot more money and a lot more volunteers, chances are that person will probably win. How many times have we heard a candidate say, well, the other person got the big money and they could put out more signs and they could do this and they could do that. They're not necessarily the better person. They just had the bigger support system. Yeah, I think it's exactly like that. We hear that all the time. And also, what information is correct and not correct? You know, I said this on Tuesday morning. I think there are two things that will go in to Mayor Collins' decision to veto this or not veto this. I think one portion is what do the people that he hears from and that he runs into, how does that group of people feel about this? I think that'll be one portion of it. Another portion of that, maybe there'll be three portions. Another portion will be how he feels, because his opinions is bound to creep in there. And then I think the third portion is going to be how much disinformation has been put out there. Because that is a big factor here. I think the people who put out bad information think they're doing themselves a favor by convincing the public to rally behind bad information. Because if you make something sound worse than it is, of course that's going to alarm the public. But when it comes to a mayoral veto, and you're looking at what the public has been given, well, you have to say, did the public get the right information in regard to this? And did they vote with the facts as they were? Now, you know, does anybody remember the Iraq War? How many people today, and by the way, George W. Bush had the votes. He had the votes to go to Iraq. He had the votes of the people to get elected. And yet, the information he gave, a lot of people feel, to get those votes to go to Iraq, maybe was not the correct information. Now, I think to this day, he still says, I thought it was right at the time, but a lot of it clearly turned out not to be right. And he gets dinged on that to this day. So, this is an issue. And this is an issue that social media has amplified in the last few years. So, yeah, I think Mayor Collins and a lot of other people are probably looking seriously at the information the public was given to make these decisions. And I don't know that this is an issue with our public officials. I think this is more of an issue, an ongoing issue, which apparently is going to be here for a long, long time, about information in regard to flock cameras. You know, we talked a little bit about the newspaper earlier. Do you think any of the articles that the Marion Star has done on this would have spurred people to call a public official? Maybe some, but some of the stuff that's been put on social media in regard to this, do you think that would spur people to call, which is more based in fear than fact? Yeah, I think that would probably spur them a lot more. So here we are. And again, do you believe the police in what they say? Are these license plate readers? Do you believe what anybody is saying? How do we know the people on the internet are on the up and up? A lot of them, a lot of sites that we see, we don't even see who's putting the information out. So that's the world we live in. And I guess we just have to live in that world at this particular point. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give me a buzz if there's something on your mind. 27 minutes past the hour, and we certainly have time to take any phone call or discuss anything with anybody who would like to discuss it. You know, I think I'm still a bit jet-lagged this morning from getting in here as late as I did. Any interruption into your typical routine always throws you off. Now, somebody did ask me yesterday, as a matter of fact, about Culver's out on Route 95 in front of Meijer. It's coming along very well. The building's there. I think the parking lot still needs to be finished. They're probably working on the inside of the building at this point, but that doesn't look like it's too far from being done. We have seen some fence show up at the Kroger on 95. I don't know if that's the start of the gas station there or not, but we have seen that. We have seen the gas tanks, pumps, being redone at the BP Duke Station on Jamesway on Route 95. We got the Starbucks over here on Delaware Avenue. I don't think we've seen any construction on that yet. We've seen some dirt being moved around in the parking lot. We've got the new senior housing community out on University Drive, across from what used to be the dorms, college dorms here in Marion. I've seen some structure going up there. But this is interesting. Does anybody else have any developments in regard to changes or businesses or so on and so forth here in the Marion area? 740-383-9944. You know, and somebody asked me a question about downtown Marion last night. You know, what do you feel is the current state of downtown Marion? You know, there were some big pushes for a while, a lot of big announcements as far as businesses opening in downtown Marion. Is there a lot going on down there at this point? After we saw Oxbees and Lazee's and Witt's open up, has there been a whole lot of movement? Now, every time I pass by that little strip there with Witt's and Lazee's and Oxbees across from Founders Park, you know, I'll tell you, I don't see a lot of business there. Now, maybe I'm not passing at the right times. I don't know how busy those businesses are, but it doesn't look like there's a lot of business there. Now, I do hear that the Smokehouse there on the other side of Founders Park is doing very well. And I do hear that they have very good food. Have not been there yet, but apparently that business is doing okay. Although it is in one of those cursed buildings in Marion. A lot of businesses have been in that building. And I'm not sure why that doesn't, businesses there don't do well. This one seems to be doing okay at the moment. So I guess we can hope that holds up. And I don't know what kind of business goes on down at Bucci's. You know, I hear that they're doing a lot of creative things down there, but I don't hear a lot of people saying they're going there to eat. Maybe they are, and hopefully they are for the people who own and run that business. Does anybody have any updates on any of this stuff? And the big Goodwill out here on Delaware Avenue, across from the mall, that seems to be coming along nicely. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give us a buzz here. We'd love to hear from you on any of these issues, kind of lighter issues than what we've been talking about as of late, but issues nonetheless in the Marion area, and that's what we're here for. And then, of course, if anybody does want to comment on the whole flock camera vote that happened on Monday that sent us down this road that we've been spiraling down this particular week with council voting to remove flock cameras, you can still weigh in on that as well. We've got 28 minutes left in this broadcast, so we've got a lot of time. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, I kind of feel like we are the a la carte show of the airwaves. You know, whatever you want to talk about, bring it up to the counter here, and we'll discuss it. It can be a main course issue, or it can be a dessert issue. Whatever it is, we'll discuss it. And I hope everybody's getting around okay in the fog this morning, because that was quite a mess out there this morning. You know, last week we had the whole discussion on holistic medicine, and I like to come back to this issue a lot because a lot of people are into this, and it's fascinating to me. It's fascinating to me that businesses are popping up. Now, I don't know. See, I don't know exactly what you would consider holistic and what you would not consider holistic. Now, we've seen a lot of these businesses pop up that apparently they do IVs with things in them that are supposed to give you energy. I don't know if that's necessarily holistic, but I think it's an interesting approach. Certainly, we have Botox. We have Botox places now here in Marion. Now, I don't think that's holistic, but it certainly is interesting that we have become a society that's highly interested in things very cosmetic. Now, we have talked about the grounding. We have talked about which apparently is going outside in your bare feet. We've talked about the castor oil. Wherever you put it, your belly button, your face, I don't know where you're supposed to put castor oil. And things like computer waves, are they getting to you? Are they doing anything? I don't know. I think this is a fascinating subject, and I wonder years from now if we're going to be looking back on this, and we're going to be saying, you know, maybe we should have paid more attention to what was going on with the cell phones. The only issue is, I don't think there's anything we can do about the waves that the cell phones are putting off. I don't think there's much to that. I don't think we've got much of a choice there, whether you put the cell phone up to your ear or head or face or wherever you put it, because there are so many cell towers everywhere. There's Wi-Fi floating everywhere. I don't know. I think that battle might be pretty well lost. So, here we are. And also, apparently the board being put together by the state with representatives from the mayor and Joanne Kasotis, the county auditor, and Governor DeWine, that board seems to be coming together. And I think the mayor said they would have their first meeting sometime in early September. This will be the advisory board to try to help Marion get back to financial stability. Some people happy with the appointments to this board. some people are not happy. I think the latest appointment was a gentleman named Ben Albright, who I believe is a banker in this area. Some people are happy with that. Some people are not happy with that. But, you know, I think we've just got to wait and see. What impact is this board going to have? And is any of this going to help? I think that's the road we're on at this point. But if anybody's got any thoughts, 36 minutes past the hour here, coming up on 37 minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you have anything to say, feel free to weigh in. We would love to hear from you. I think these are all interesting issues. I think the financial issues in Marion that have led us to fiscal emergency are going to be harder to turn around than maybe we think they are. And I'm not sure exactly what cuts are going to have to be made and where they're going to have to be made and how this is all going to be done. Will anybody on this board have the magic answer? I don't know. I think it will be a very interesting discussion that happens amongst this board, and we'll see if anybody comes up with an answer that is very productive and forthright for the city of Marion at this particular point. All right, 38 minutes past the hour. Anything going on in anybody's life that's interesting? Hey, we got kind of a slow morning here on this Thursday. Things maybe have calmed down a little bit. 740-383-9944. And I hope whoever the people were who called here last night or who messaged me on social media, who wanted to get into the show yesterday, who did not get in to voice their opinion on what they want to do a voice their opinion on, can do that now. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give me a buzz if you're out there and have anything you would like to say. Well, from one of our listeners out there this morning, Linda out there this morning, what do you know about Ralphie's Sports Restaurant closing in September? Is it true? Also, I did see that Carlisle's is up for sale. Now, I have heard that Carlisle's is up for sale. I think that is absolutely true. I don't know if it's been purchased or not. I think that's an interesting business. You know, they say they have the best pies in Marion. I don't know about that. I'm sure a lot of people feel they do. But they have interesting hours at Carlisle. But obviously do very well. And yes, I have heard that they are up for sale. I don't know if they've been sold or not. Does anybody know anything about the Carlisle restaurant here in Marion out on Route 95? 740-383-9944. Now, I have not heard anything about Ralphie's closing in September. Has anybody heard anything about Ralphie's closing in September? Does anybody have any information they would like to shine on that? I am not a regular Ralphie's customer. I haven't been there in quite some time. Of course, that's the location of the old Frisch's Big Boy. But they've been open for a while there. I haven't heard that they were closing. But has anybody heard anything about Ralphie's possibly closing in September next month? Let me know here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 40 minutes past the hour. Are there any regular Ralphie's customers out there who know anything about Ralphie's possibly closing in the month of September? I don't know how busy they stay, but I'll tell you, a lot of restaurants on Route 95 that used to do very well don't seem to be doing the business that they once did. Now, I don't know what the cause of that is. I don't know if it's food cost. I don't know if it's people not having enough money to go there. But very rarely do I go into any restaurant on 95, which is the busiest street in Marion, and see lines out the door. I don't see a whole lot of that anymore. You know, you don't see that at Perkins. You don't see that at Carlisle. You don't see that at Bob Evans. You don't see that at Ralphie's. You don't see that at a whole lot of those places. I don't know. Is takeout more popular? Is it just a sign of the times that we don't go out and eat anymore? I don't know. Does anybody have any thoughts on any of this? 740-383-9944. If you want to get in on the conversation, now would be the time to do it. 18 minutes left in the program today. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But I would be interested to know if anybody knows anything about Ralphie's possibly closing up. I have not heard that, but you never know. Things certainly get by me. You know, I couldn't tell you the last time I was in Ralphie's. I do know a couple years ago, I was in Ralphie's. And I think I had a burger. And I'm not going to say it was not a good burger. But it wasn't the best tasting burger I've ever had. I guess I suspected or expected more from Ralphie's. I don't know why I expected more. But I did expect more from Ralphie's, and the last time I was there, it was not great. Okay, let's see what we got from another listener out here. Okay, I'll take the tangible receipts that Dan Clark has over Bill Collins, I think. Not perfect, but 200 emails, or I think 9-1 that the mayor says. Well, that's back to the flock issue here. You know, I don't know if either one is being dishonest. As I said earlier, I think Dan Clark probably is being honest in what he says, that he got a lot of feedback on this. And I think the mayor has had feedback on this, and this is what he feels. I also think that the mayor is probably getting hit with a lot of feedback this week after he said he might veto this legislation. But, you know, I also have heard that emails and things are showing up from outside the city. They're showing up from different states. So, is this accurate? And I think a lot of people... I think what this all boils down to, if you take all the outside stuff away from this, what I really think this whole issue is boiling down to is the mayor more likely or less likely to veto this legislation? Go ahead, caller.
Would you like to know who I think the out-of-state person was that contacted him?
Oh, who is that?
Former councilman Brett Cornelius is who I think it was.
Well, that could be. You know, he's against the flock cameras from what I hear.
Yeah, he's been anti-flock. So I believe the city and state that he listed is where Brett Cornelius moved to. So for Collins to dismiss all the emails that come through, and you read that email that he sent Ashton, and it really was like, I can't even take emails at their face value now because you just don't know who's on the other end of them. So, I mean, the vocal minority are the only ones that show up when people get the gumption to send an email, okay, that's, he can't trust that because he doesn't know if those are really real people behind those emails or not. But the people that show up, no, they're the minority. The people that email, they might not be real, you know, so I don't, what else can we do? And when people, I've actually saw people talk about going and protesting in front of his house. You think that he'll think those people are real?
Well, I think it's interesting because don't you think this veto is going to come down to what he thinks in general?
Would you like to hear my prediction?
Okay.
He's going to veto, and Rollins is going to do his reconsideration, and even some of the people that voted yes I think, like, maybe Danny Clark, I think he might flip his vote between now and then and say he heard from more of his constituents, and now he's just undecided, and he believes that this should be put up on a referendum and let the people decide on the ballot. And I believe that'll be his way of backpedaling and undoing what he did, and it'll be their way of keeping the flock cameras up still. And Lurch says they're gone next year. So if that's what they want to do, though, they want to screw us like that, fine. Do the legwork for us and put it on the ballot. That'd make our lives a lot easier. We wouldn't have to gather all the signatures. But I hope they remember when we're in there voting no for Flock, as long as there's a name beside theirs, we'll be voting no for them, too.
Do you think, though, people council would vote to put this on the ballot?
I think that will be their way of appeasing us. Let the people decide. You know how Charter City, we were all clamoring for Charter City, so they were going to let the people decide. We decided that. Now we're going to decide their four-year terms. Listen, that's too. If they really want these four-year terms, they need to think about that election that's coming up, because they're asking us to decide to give them longer terms, and you're overturning the will of the people. I mean, this is all I can say, I guess, is that short of actually all of us showing up and wearing, you know, for and against T-shirts, I don't know how else to take a poll. But if I've been to lots and lots of city council meetings. If the fullest one I've ever seen, it wasn't about our financial situation. It was about Flock cameras. And it was literally asses to elbows. It brought people out. And for them to say, oh, the vocal minority. Well, you know what? The vocal minority got up off their couch. So where's the silent majority? Still sitting on their asses at home.
Well, and I think something interesting, though, is what shocked me was they did show up for the conversation about Flock cameras, but they did not show up for the panel, and they did not show up for the actual vote on Monday.
And I wasn't there because I didn't expect it to happen Monday. I messaged you in the middle of council and said, did Flock just go down?
Right, but I'm saying, I thought it was, I think, as I've said before, and I know it's not a popular opinion amongst a lot of people, I think the reason certain people, are laying on this Flock issue as long as they have is because it is it's a getter. It's the same reason the newspaper is doing it. It will get people to buy.
I'm sharing Fox News articles. It's the great uniter.
Well, I'm not saying it's a uniter. I think what it is, it's like
bringing both sides of the political spectrum together and to unite against this cause.
Well, here's what it is. It's you know, if you put on the front page of the paper, Marion in fiscal emergency appoints board member, that's not going to sell as many newspapers as the Flock camera thing is, because if you look on the newspaper rack right next to it.
You keep baiting me with the board member thing, don't you? You just want me to say it, don't you?
Well, no. I think that's what it is. But
okay, well, I think what people need to know is this person that was assigned by the governor, or appointed by the governor, to our fiscal recovery board, his name was obviously submitted by the mayor, because that's how the governor got named. I think the other people from
Didn't I see last night that apparently Heidi Jones from the Chamber of Commerce was contacted, and she also gave him a rave, and she named it.
Okay, I like Heidi Jones. I've known Heidi Jones for a very, very, very long time. Heidi Jones started out in the nonprofit world. She did a great job at Marion Matters. She's now Chamber of Commerce, and I'm not exactly sure how that makes her an authority on municipal fiscal situations. I can't tell you how many times I've seen, oh, he's such a good guy. Oh, but he's such a good guy. He's got a good heart. Okay, at this point, I would take Satan if Satan had a business degree. Because this good heart stuff and this appointing everybody's buddy, and that's what we haven't gotten around to yet, okay? I'm on other nonprofit boards with him, And he's just got the best heart. Okay, so it's all these people that are all on these, as Terry, or Buddy Terry likes to call them, mutual admiration societies. They're all in the same cliques. They're all coming out and talking and telling us how great we think this guy should be. I realize this. The guy is married to a deputy sheriff who, on her Facebook page, just praises Kevin Davidson, former deputy or whatever sheriff level he reached, current county commissioner, just praises him and what a mentor he was to her and how he would always have her back and how she always looked up to him. And her maiden name is Davidson, and I guess the joke is that he's her, like, fake pretended adopted grandpa. You know what I mean? Like, it's a running joke. I don't believe they're actually real. But, so here we have now another person with law enforcement ties picked by Colin to serve on this board. We could have had Bob Huss, a professor of business, has Professor Bob Huss, he has a doctorate, he has master's degrees, and instead we've got some 30-something-year-old guy that had tax liens, which means you didn't pay your state taxes against him a couple years ago.
And yeah, but don't we have to say that the public's will right now is with Ben?
Do you mean, like, am I wishing him well?
No. That I'm saying, as you have said, and I've seen it too, community leaders and people who know him and people who have worked with him.
Who is it? It's the people, the same as Terry says, this Mutual Admiration Society. And again, I go back to this Heidi Jones and her role as the Visitor and Conventions Bureau. And I like Heidi. I don't dislike Heidi. But what makes somebody that runs the Visitors and Convention Bureau a solid pick for financial or fiscal emergency? I mean, why does he's a great guy. I don't care about his character.
Yeah, but apparently the governor contacted her office.
Okay, apparently Robert Landon also held the same type of position this guy has before he swooped in and totally royally screwed the city. Maybe the guy's the best thing since sliced bread. But when you've got somebody like Professor Bob Huss on one hand, and you've got a dude that got in trouble for not paying his taxes 5 years ago, leading our fiscal emergency recovery. I mean, the shit writes itself, Scott.
But
this is what I've got to say. Bill Collins has handpicked all of these people. Now he owns every bit of the ensuing shitstorm that's about to come.
Well, here's the thing, though.
We've got a real estate attorney and a guy that couldn't pay his taxes.
Right, but
lead us into the promised land.
Yeah, but the problem is here, Bill Collins does have to own his pick, and I think Bill Collins would own his pick. But this pick, I don't think Bill Collins owns, because the governor did pick it. And my guess is...
Okay,
and my guess, but no, wait a second. Let me get in. I think the governor picked it because of the people he contacted, who we now are finding out. One was the mayor, but one was the head of the Chamber of Commerce, and who knows who else he contacted. This man's name...
But he would not have had that name if the mayor did not submit it.
No, but I think when it showed up...
Why does the mayor think that a guy that didn't pay his effing taxes 5 years ago, I don't know...
Well, why does Heidi Jones think that?
I don't know. Because he's a good guy.
Right. But when that name appears on, when the same name appears on two lists that goes to the governor, and he's asking for feedback, it's not hard to figure out why the governor's going to pick that.
Well, this guy's also on the, I think he's on the Marion Community Foundation, he's on the YMCA board, he's on this board, that board. You know, I mean, they're all on a board, so it's not hard to get recommendations when you're on a board with all these people.
Right, but the public.
You're not getting. I'm his employer, or he's done this for me, or as a community, he's done this for the community. It's we sit beside each other once a month and have breakfast and talk about all the work that volunteers do. And here's the thing: they all go on about all these boards they're on. Boards don't impress me the way they think that they should impress people. My experience with boards and volunteering is the boards love to meet and eat, as Phil says, but when it comes time to actually get dirty or maybe interact with those people, they're nowhere to be found. When it comes time to actually do serve the purpose of the board, there are no board members to be found. If there's a photo op, yeah.
But
when it comes time to feed the hungry or wash their clothes or take them groceries or pick up produce or any of those things, give them rides. You know, they're nowhere to be found, but oh, by God,
but
I'm on the board.
But here's the thing. I find it very interesting that of the majority of the comments that I have seen about this pick, Ben, they are, I think, swaying more to the positive. Now, whatever reason...
He's a good guy, right? He's a good guy.
Okay, but regardless, they're happy with the pick.
That with the majority of witchers. I didn't say he wasn't a good guy. Never once did I say the guy's a bad guy.
But they're saying that in regard to him being picked, because that's why his name is out there. And I've said this before, and people don't believe it, and they don't have to believe it, but the truth of the matter is, the reason a lot of people... are picked.
We picked the attorney because he's a good guy, too.
Well, I don't know about good guy, but I will tell you, likable people do go further in certain situations. And I have always said...
Okay, we picked Bill Collins because he was a good guy, and he was going to lead us out of all of this mess, too, right? How's all this good guy shit doing for us? Everybody said Robert Landon was a good guy, too. We need to stop with, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. Okay, give us an asshole that knows what they're doing. How's that?
Well, all I'm saying is, you know, I think disturbers in this way, a good guy I don't think is meant as, well, he's just a good guy. He really doesn't know anything, but he's a good guy. I don't think that's how they're meaning it. I think they're meaning it as he's a good choice. And I think if you asked
all I'm getting is he's a good guy. I'm like, okay, like, what's his expertise? What's his background? What has he done? He's on this board, and he's on that board.
There you go.
He cares about this community. Like I said, being on a board does not impress me. That does not impress me at all. What do you do to make a difference, an actual difference, not showing up once a month and voting on something? What do you do to make a difference?
Well, what I'm saying is...
I'm a member of the board, okay?
Right, but that's what the public feels is acceptable to them, I guess.
Okay, I'm the public, and it's not acceptable to me.
Well, no, but I think in this one, you probably are more in the minority, as you're saying here.
No, not really. I don't think so. I think people are, again, we've got somebody else that's hooked up with the FOP representing us, okay? Now we've got Kevin Hall was a former cop. Now we've got somebody married to a deputy sheriff, former cop and handpicked by Collins. And now we've got somebody married to a deputy sheriff. Does anybody really think that our interests are going to be, like, what exactly... If I'm in the minority, that's fine. I've been known to be called the vocal minority before. It won't hurt my feelings.
Well, but no, I'm not saying
When this all blows to hell, like it's going to, blow to hell. I mean, things are going to get very, very bad. I hate to be that grim about it, but things are going to get bad. I haven't been wrong about too much, and it's going to get ugly. And really, it won't matter who's sitting in that room, because the state of Ohio, the person that comes... in, they're going to be from budget management, and they'll probably be a lifelong employee that's been there for 20 years, and their only job is to get shit straight. So it doesn't matter who is hooked up with the FOP or who's been
there for
20 years. They're going to sit there and do what they're told.
So then what's the point? What's the point of any outrage? What's the point of these picks? What's the point of any of this?
Because it's just more cronyism, Scott. I mean, they don't pass packets of money to each other. They pass appointments and this and that and the other, and you know, for this guy this age, this would be a real resume builder. But if it goes south, he gets to own it too. So imagine being this age and then, oh wow, you were part of the fiscal recovery for the city that never got out of fiscal emergency. Okay.
Well, you know what?
I'm sorry, this feels like Robert Landon on repeat. And I called the shit about Robert Landon when he was running for election. I was like, please, people, we need somebody with experience in this job. Why are we even considering him? And oh, I was in the minority then, and oh, I was hated, and I was this and that and the other. Boy, I sure was right, wasn't I?
But now, see, couldn't that be the same issue with the flock cameras? The people in the minority right now could actually be right, and if something happened and they were removed, the mayor would say, gee whiz, I should have used a veto.
We will still have flock cameras in the county. They'll be able to access them.
And
won't be on every street corner in the city near you.
And I think people, if they think they're in over their head, can resign from this board.
How tacky will that look? Oh,
well,
shit,
I don't know.
Real. I can't do this anymore.
How will it look if we removed all the flock cameras and then people say, boy, I wish we had them?
We're not removing them all. We're only removing the ones inside the city.
Well, right. Well, what if something happens in the city and we say we could have used that?
I guess my whole point is that even in fiscal emergency, Collins can't get outside his own cronies. This goes back to flock. 9 to 1 people want cameras, okay? And you somehow ended up appointing submitting the name of a deputy sheriff's husband who is closely connected to a county commissioner. Boy, that's just all too cozy. I don't believe in that many coincidences.
And more.
But even in this situation, he could have chosen somebody. We get Robert Landon Jr., Sr., the third, I don't know.
And we're out of time. Thanks for calling. All right. We are out of time for this day. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Fun and fabulous prices.
The audience went,
yeah!
And I went, well, what about me? What about my needs?